Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers chapter number 13. Verse number 33. Just one verse tonight. Amen. I'd hate to know there was something hindering me. I finally took that box of chocolates and I put them in the back. Got them out the way. That box of that thing of peanut butter. I got it out the way so it wasn't there for me to look at and be bothered by. You know, sometimes we need to take things and put them out the way, get rid of them, so they won't bother us anymore. Amen. So if something keeping you from growing in grace and being a better spiritual warrior, I just get it out my way. Amen. Get rid of it. And you serve the Lord. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 33. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Probably when we read this scripture here, you know exactly what the chapter's talking about. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. I was praying about this last night, and the Lord laid a thought on my heart. And I was going to preach to you on grasshoppers or giant stoppers. Amen. But I was praying about that today, and I thought about what Caleb and Joshua did and what David did. And I want to preach to you tonight on grasshoppers or giant stompers. Amen. Amen. Just getting that giant out of the way completely and doing the will of God. Would you bow your head tonight? Ask the Lord to help us in the remainder of this service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for your many blessings and how that you've touched us and helped us. And God, we thank you for all your touches. But Lord, we ask you tonight to come by and help us again in this service. Lord, help us to be willing to step out by faith and do your will. We'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in your wonderful name we pray. Amen. I begin to read this and think about these passages of Scripture. And there they were on the border of Kadesh Barnea. Amen. They were there about to enter into the promised land. But like any good soldier or any good general, Moses gets up the men. He assembles a team of 12 men from each tribe, and he sends them into the land to spy it out and come back with a report. Amen. These men went into Kadesh Barnea. And they begin to spy out the land. And they came back with that report of how that the land was. And the Bible said that they came back and they returned from searching out the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Amen. They said, told him and said, we came into a land where thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Amen. We came to that land that you told us of, and surely it is a land that floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Amen. They came back with evidence of what they had found. And I thought about that, and I thought about their opportunity that was before them. Amen. What a special opportunity that they had. We must realize what kind of people we're talking about here. Amen. Most of these people had grown up in slavery for 400 years under the bondage of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Amen. These people that raised children, they had saw mamas and daddies and grandpas and grandmas die and children born into slavery. Amen. The taskmaster was over them and their burdens were heavy and sore. Amen. But they had saw the great miracles of God and how that
God sent a man by the name of Moses to lead them out to the promised land. Amen. They have come over the great Red Sea. Amen. Not walking through the water, but walking on dry ground. And they had saw their enemies, the Egyptians, as they came in, the water closed upon them. And the Bible said they saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Amen. God had done a great deliverance in their life. Amen. They had brought them out with a high hand. And now they stand on the border of the promised land. A land that was theirs by promise. Amen. God had told them to go in and take the land, and that he would drive out the inhabitants before them. Amen. Not only was it a land of promise, amen, but it was going to be a land of purpose. Amen. Where they needed to be in the center of God's will. Amen. God did not intend them to walk around the wilderness for 40 years in the beginning, but he intended them to dwell in that promised land. Can I tell you tonight that God has a plan and a purpose for our life? It's not just to sit on a church pew or warm a bench somewhere, but it's to be in the divine will of God. Amen. Not only that, but it was a place of provision. Can you imagine how they had to scrape by? Can you imagine how they had to look for their own food? How they had to just get by down in Egypt on the leeks and garlics? Amen. But God said, I'm going to bring you into a land, amen, that floweth with milk and honey. And now they hold in their hand not just a promise, but behold evidence of that promise. As they bring out the fruit, as they bring out the report, surely it is a land that floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. What an opportunity they had that was before them. It was special, and that God had brought it to light. I'm telling you tonight, we have a great opportunity to serve the Lord in this hour. Amen. What an opportunity we have to win the loss. What an opportunity we have to take the good news to a dry and thirsty land. Amen. What an opportunity we have tonight in one of the darkest hours. Amen. To shine the brightest light of the gospel to those that are dying lost. Amen. In the darkness. Come on now, what an opportunity the church has amidst all the evil and the demonic oppression. Amen. To have revival in this hour. I see we got many opportunities that are before us. Amen. Up to this point, they've only heard about it. Up to this point, amen, they've been told of what God has said. But now they see the fruits thereof. Amen. Can you imagine as those people look on how their hearts must have begun to beat faster? How the anticipation and the excitement must have begun to build around them? Amen. The opportunity to have their own houses. Amen. The opportunity to plant their own gardens. Amen. Not for a taskmaster. Amen. But for themselves. The opportunity. Amen. To make bricks and mortars. Amen. Not to build the homes of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Amen. Not to build their temples of worship. Amen. But to build homes and a tabernacle that God could abide in for themselves. I'm telling you tonight, God's brought us to this place. And he's given us opportunity. We need to seize it and go forward in the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, but can I tell you, amen, fear comes into play. I said fear comes into play in this passage of Scripture. And they told him, amen, we said we came into the land with our sinners us. It's a land that floweth with milk and honey, and this is fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Amen. These people saw the obstacles. Amen. Their outlook was small. I said their outlook was small. Amen. Can I tell you tonight? Amen. Let's not let us be overcome by fear, but let us overcome through faith. I said, let us not be overcome by fear, but let us overcome by faith. Oh, I'm telling you, amen, they got their outlook, and they begin to look at the opposition. Amen, there's this look tonight. Amen, one of the points that I wrote down was that there was a difference in vision. Amen, can you imagine the 10 and the 2? Let's separate them tonight. On this side we have the 10 that came back with a bad report. On this side we have the 2, Caleb and Joshua, that saw the opportunity and the potential of a people led by God. Amen, the 10 said, amen, the giants are in the land, the sons of Anak, the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Canaanites are there. Their cities are walled and fortified. Amen, they're great people. They're strong and mighty. You know what they were doing? Amen. Their vision was focused on the people. Amen. Their vision was focused on the obstacle instead of the Almighty God. They looked at the giants and they saw such great opposition that they said, we cannot in a wise overcome them. Later on, another passage of scripture, after they'd given their speech and they've given their thoughts on the matter, the Bible said that the people's heart were discouraged. Amen. 10 men with an evil report discouraged the hearts of thousands upon thousands. Why? Because they had no vision. Amen. Their vision was obscured by the people and by the problem. Amen. They realized that if they went into Kadesh Barnea, it's going to have to fight and dig it out. It's going to be times of warfare. It's going to probably be bloodshed. It's going to be sweat and tears. But there was something worth fighting for. Amen. They saw the statue of the men and they ran like cowards. They saw the problem of the well-fortified city and they hid like a bunch of chickens. Amen. That ought to be not be our attitude tonight. But as Brother Edward Day used to say, give me the bone of a sawlog, and I must stand against opposition and say, I can't do it by myself, but me and the Lord together can take the land. Amen. Amen. They saw people in problems. That was the grasshoppers. Amen. That's what their vision entailed. They couldn't see past, even though those fruits were still there. Even though those clusters of grapes and figs, amen, were no doubt in their sight. Oh, they saw that great obstacle of the people. Amen. You know, we set goals in life. I try to set a weekly goal of what I want to do. Amen. By the end of the week. And I try to reach that goal. But a lot of times we see I'm going to have to get up early. I'm going to have to hit it hard this week. I'm going to have to do more than I did last week to get down to where I want to be. And we say the opposition's just too great. The effort's just too much. I'll just stay right where I'm at. And that's the way they were. Amen. They looked past the things that God had for them. They looked past that great opportunity. And they saw the obstacle. Amen. Their fear overcame their faith. And even though the great grapes and figs were there, even though they still had that report, amen, they looked more at the giants, amen, than they did to God. I hope that's not us here tonight. Well, I don't think it'll ever happen. I don't know if I can. That's the mentality of a grasshopper. Amen. But a giant stopper, a giant stomper, amen, says I can. Amen. By the grace and help of God. For greater is he that's in me. Amen. Greater, amen, than the world. Come on tonight. I wish somebody would change their mentality and stop saying I can. And say I can. By the grace and help of God. Amen. These giant stompers, and they saw potential. Woo! Can you imagine? Now, this is just me, how I see things. I'm thinking, man, woo, they picking them grapes. Caleb's going, woo! Joshua, come here, boy. Man! I think I might be able to be a place right here on this mountain. Amen. This is going to be Caleb's mountain. Amen. I'm going to raise my children here. I can't imagine how it's going to be all together. But I can get a view of going out getting these grapes and having grapes for supper. Amen. Making grape juice. Oh, and there's those fig trees. Amen. We'll make fig preserves. We'll make grape jelly. Oh, we're going to have a good time. Amen. Can you imagine these things? Look at that mountain right there. I know it's big and rocky. Amen. But take away that rock, level off the top. Wouldn't that be a great place to homestead? Wouldn't that be a great place to raise a family? A little creek in the back. Amen. I know I might be imagining a little too big. And a lot of folks say we ought not do that. That's what's wrong with us. We've let others tell us we can. I'm telling you, if I can imagine it, I can think it. My God's able to tonight, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can imagine. I'm telling you, we need to see the potential that God has for us.
Amen. Can you imagine those other 10? Better put that in your pocket. Hope them big boys didn't see us. I hope they ain't peering over that wall nowhere. Amen. I hope they ain't looking at us and ain't getting mad because we got these grapes. Amen. We'll try to sneak them out of here without anybody noticing. Boys, why don't we move during the night? Amen. Why don't we get behind that clump of trees and try to sneak our way back out to the party and tell Moses what we found? But I just picture Caleb and Joshua saying, hey, man, I ain't hiding from no children, ain't that? Amen. The Hittites, the Jebusites, all those ice stones, amen, bother me a bit. You know why? Because I know God's my provider. I ain't never got in too heavy that God couldn't make a way. The Bible said that Caleb had a different spirit. There was something about him. And Caleb said, my God, amen, we'll make a way. Why don't you say it tonight? Amen, my God, we'll make a way. Where there seemeth to be no way. Amen, the men said we can't. Caleb stilled the people and said, if God be for us, we can tonight. I'm seeing a great potential for revival. I'm seeing potential for miracles. I've got some fruit to show you. I've got some things we can talk about. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. I say we need to see the potential, not the problem. And not focus on the people. But look to our provider. And say we can. If God be for us.
Amen. If I could ever get him down here, I'd love to get Earl Wayne. Come be in church with us one day. Man. He lived out in Oklahoma. He welds gas lines. I mean, he's a tough booger. He ain't much taller than Seth. He ain't much bigger than Seth. He's a little bitty man. Probably 110 pounds soaking wet. But man, he got bit by a brown recluse. Had to make him go to the doctor. He's down in them pipelines, his hand about rotting off. Had to make him go to the doctor. He said, I ain't going, I got to work. Finally, had to make him. Well, Earl Wayne wasn't saved all the time I was going down that way. He got saved in the last few years. I was out in Oklahoma and got saved in revival one night. I mean, God gloriously helped him. And I used to hang around with him some, even before I got married. And Michelle started going with me. I hang around with him sometimes. He'd take me out to eat. He liked me. And me and Earl Wayne would talk and different things. But I remember one time, stand up, TJ. We was in line in Mazio's. That's a pizza place everybody goes to down there. Hey, man, every time you go out to eat, it's Mazio's. I don't know why, but that's where to go. And they was going down that pizza place. And me and Earl Wayne was sitting there trying to get our order. And this tall guy, he's about TJ's size. About two times more broad. I mean, he's a big old boy. Somebody didn't want to tangle with. And he come walking up. Me and Earl Wayne standing there. And man, just walked right in front of Earl Wayne like that. And kind of just pushed him out of the way. Got in line. Like he didn't even see him. Well, Earl Wayne, you could tell he got a little frustrated. Now, he wasn't saved. So he wasn't sanctified at one. I mean, he didn't have an ounce in him. As far as I knew, you could tell by the way he acted what he did. And that guy got to loud talking. He got to cussing. And Earl Wayne, come here, TJ. Earl Wayne was standing behind him. You couldn't even see him. Don't try to hide from me, boy. Stand right there. Hey, man, you couldn't even see Earl Wayne. He's so short and tiny behind that big man. That man cussing all of a sudden. You seen that hand tap him on the shoulder and say, excuse me, buddy. I got a preacher with me. How about turning that talk down? Hey, that man didn't even notice Earl Wayne. He kept on talking like he was. And finally, I seen them ears get red, and that head face get red, and I seen the smoke not literally coming out of the top of his head. I knew he's upset. Earl Wayne stepped up. I guess I thought, man, it's fitting to be on. He looked at that boy and said, I told you to stop cussing. Hey, man, number one, you broke in line. I let you slide. Number two, you started cussing. And I told you to stop, and you didn't. I let you slide. He said, three strikes, big boy, and you're out. He said, what I'm about to do is climb up one side and climb down the other. And when I get finished, ain't gonna be nothing left. Amen. I mean, that little man standing around that big man's face. He to back down, and I thought, man, if he unleashed something on him he don't want, I literally believe he'd have climbed up him. I literally believe they took him down inch by inch. That's how much confidence he. You know what that big man did? He looked at Earl Wayne. I thought one punch, he could knock him into the wall. He looked at Earl Wayne and said, hey, man, I don't want no trouble. I don't want to fight. And he backed up and said, y'all go ahead and order your pizza. I'll get out the way. You know what? Somebody needs to tell the devil. I'm tired of you roughshodding me. I'm tired of you getting in my way. Obscuring my vision. Telling me you can't. I'm about to climb up one side of you and climb down the other. I'm about to work you over. Why? Because I'm not a grasshopper. I'm a giant stomper. Amen. I've got provider. I've got provision. I've got help. Amen. To help me be victorious in this life.
Well, you know what most of us has got? We got giant focus, not God focus. Well, we could, but it's talking at work. I'm HIPAA certified. What that means is, I had to take a test, had to pass it. And now, I'm supposed to report fraud and abuse. If somebody's doing the system wrong, I signed the paper saying I reported. You know what I've been doing? Been reporting. That old fella comes in. He's on Medicare because he's disabled. Can't work. Got a bum knee and back. Can't pick up nothing. Drives a Lincoln truck. Well, he's on Bellevue. Painting a house. Toting a big old ladder. I drive by, I saw him. Know what I did? Went to the store, got the number to the insurance company. I called him. I said, you might want to check out this man. Says he's disabled. I saw him working. Owns a company. Says he don't. He came in the other day and I said, you ain't got your work clothes on. Work? Oh, I can't work. I said, man, I saw you on Bellevue painting. That wasn't me. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. The next time we'll get a picture so you can see it. Let's talk about these people, and we's all, you know, you get upset. Here comes a young man. Lady comes in. She's on Medicare, and her prescription bill is $500. She's just trying to get by. Worked all her life, ain't got nothing. And here comes a young man on Medicaid driving a $40,000 car with spinner rims, cost $2,000, and tires cost probably $2,000. He's got Medicaid, ain't paying nothing for his medicine. And you ask, you must didn't report that. Man, it makes you mad. And it's talking about folks that can work that don't work. And it's talking about a TV program they had saw. Said, this woman was born without legs. Said, she's just nubs. And said, she couldn't walk, but she'd become a mechanic. And said they showed her on that program. Said she had her little dolly that she rode around on. They'd lift those cars up. She'd get up under there and she'd fix them. And said she was one of the best mechanics in that part of the country. Said she even fixed her car in a way that she could drive that car down the road, get back and forth to work. And now somebody said, if that woman can overcome her obstacle and work, there's a lot of more folks that could get off and do something about their situation. Amen. Can I tell you, we've got that same mentality. Well, I've got these things. And amen, this is in my life. And I just came because of that. I'm not talking about in the physical altogether, but I'm talking about that spiritual realm. Amen. You know what Caleb said? He said, we are well able. Amen. Not just able, but we are well able to overcome them. I wish somebody get that kind of spirit. I wish somebody see our potential. You know, if we saw our potential, we come to the house of God, be excited, and say, I'm here tonight, but I'm looking for somebody else to be here Sunday. Amen. I'm expecting people to come in. I have not spent time in prayer. I have not pushed back the plate to see Union Grove the same Sunday as it was this Sunday. I'm telling you, I see the potential of church growth. Yes, there's problems and there's people that will stand against us. But who can be against us if the Lord be for us? I'm telling you, let's be giant stompers, not grasshoppers. And you know, when we look at this, we'll say, well, their greatest opposition was the giant of Satan. It was the devil and all those enemies. Their greatest opposition was themselves. We see ourselves as grasshoppers in our own sight. They limited God through their thoughts. They limited God and His ability through what they thought things should be like. There was a difference in their vision, and there was a difference in their valor, their courage. The grasshoppers group was larger. Everybody was on their side. Everybody was standing with them. Their hearts were discouraged. Those 10 men formed a multitude that stood on the brink of a miracle and on the promises of God, only to be turned back and walk 40 years in the wilderness. I read after one man that said they estimated that 82 people died a day as they journeyed for 40 years. God said, no man from 20 years and up shall enter into the promised land. But you're going to wander 40 years in the wilderness. Those men that had seen the miracles, and the Bible said that they had seen the miracles of God in Egypt. That's what the Lord said unto Moses. He said, they've seen what I've done, but yet they doubt me. Amen. Their group was large. But the giant stompers, their God was larger. Amen. They didn't have a great big group, but their God was larger than any problem that they had. Amen. They was looking to a God that was able. Amen. They was looking to a God that could overcome and help them. Oh, if we get that kind of vitality, there's no telling what we can do. Amen. His ability. Amen. His strength is in us. And we're able to overcome through Him. Amen. One of the reformers was asked, or he was told, he said, all of the world is against you. And he replied with this, then I am against all the world. Hey, hallelujah. The record on the tomb of John Knox says this, here lies a man who never feared the face of clay. Amen. He never feared man, but he respected a great God and had reverence for Him and looked to His power. During the pastorate of Henry Ward Beecher, Indianapolis. He preached a series of sermons upon drunkenness and gambling. Incidentally, scoring the men of the community who profited by these sins. During the ensuing week, he was accosted on the street by a would-be assailant, pistol in hand. He demanded with an oath, "I will shoot you on the spot." He said, "Take it back right here, or you're dead." Henry Beecher looked at that man. You know, a lot of people's response would have been, "I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have been so harsh." Henry Beecher looked at him and began to walk away, and his response was this: "Shoot away, old boy. I dare say you won't hit the mark as good as I did when I preached on your gambling." Amen. "Shoot away, old boy. I dare say you won't hit the mark as good as I did when I preached on your gambling." And that's the spirit of Caleb and Joshua. And that's the spirit of men that stand against adversity. Amen. Corrie ten Boom said, "Faith is like a radar. It sees past the fog." Hallelujah. Amen. Thomas Edison said, "I have never failed. I have never failed. I just found 10,000 ways that would not work." Amen. But you know what he did after every way that failed? He tried again. Amen. Something new. Amen. Something better. And because of those trying and inventions and modern things that we have came from him. Amen. I wish we could see the potential of God. I wish we could see tonight the power of God. If we could, we stand against the giants and we would go into the promises that God has for us.
And I close with this. There was a difference in their vision. There was a difference in their valor. And there was a difference in their victory. 10 were defeated. 2 were delivered. Think about that. How did the 10 spies die? Anybody know? Others died wondering. 10 spies died of a plague. I didn't realize that until tonight when I was reading it. I always thought they died with the rest just wandering around. God cursed them. They died of a plague. But two men still standing. 40 years later, Caleb looks at Joshua. Moses is gone. All the doubters are dead. He says, "Give me." And hold on to it for 40 years? How old was he? 80-some years old? 80-some years old, and he's still going, "It's mine." I don't imagine a day went by that Caleb didn't say, one day, "Amen, I'm going to build on that mountain. Amen, one day, amen, I'm going to build on that mountain." And he was able to give to his daughter. He was able to give promises to his new son-in-law. Amen, he gave him the upper springs and the nether regions. Amen, I mean, he blessed his daughter. And he blessed his son-in-law, Othniel. How, why? How could he do it? Amen, this man that was a wanderer. I tell you how he believed God able. And after 40 years, he got his promise. Amen. And we're standing tonight on a brink of a miracle. Amen. There's no telling what God will do for a church that says God can. There's no telling what acts of faith and miracles can be performed at Union Grove. I'm telling you, God's already moving among us. I said, God's already moving among us. Amen. We've already seen fruit. We've already seen prosperity. And if we just step up and say, "God can, give me my mountain. I mean, I'm not a grasshopper, but I'm a giant stopper by the power and grace of God."
You know, we overlook the little miracles. think about it. I'm closing. If right now, Sister Joyce Gay was healed of cancer, I'd be happy. I would. I don't want you to take this the wrong way. But it'd be spread all over the country how God healed her. There'd be testimonies in every churches. Pastors would be talking about it. People would be publishing it. Sister, how far could you stretch a leg about 3 months ago? How far can you stretch it now? Almost straight. Well, Joy, what was your sugar when you went to the doctor? What was it when you checked it? Until you got a bad back, God's given you enough strength to be here. Sister Rachel, a lot of folks have what you've got in a wheelchair. When we look over these things, the fruit that God has given us already, we think, well, I mean, how many children do you know that the mom and daddy are separated and don't go to church or faithful to the house of God? That's fruit. And we're waiting for something big to happen, some explosion in the church, where somebody comes out with one leg and all of a sudden they're healed and that other one sprouts. God can do that. We need to look at some fruit we already got. He's saying, look at the things I've done for you already. Now enter into bigger and greater things. And don't get the mentality, this is the way we got to be because it's just too much. Why don't we take the mentality that, hey, God has already moved for us in so many ways. He's already touched us in so many ways. There's no telling what He might do for us tonight. We're standing on the border of the promises. One step. Stand to your feet tonight. One step and you can enter in. You know, I would separate us tonight and say, okay, all the people who want to be grasshoppers get on one side of the church, and those that want to be giant stompers get on the other. But you don't have to. God knows your heart. And by your actions, and by what you do and say, He knows what your thoughts are. I wish tonight somebody would make up their mind. I'm tired of just settling. I'm tired of walking around of what God could do. I'm stepping into what God can do. You know, we talk about healing, and I know God heals. But there's sometimes when God touches a person, there's things they got to do. Might be go make it right with somebody. It might be to forgive. It might be to, amen, step up and say. Who was it, Brother Tabor, talking about that woman with a goiter on her side or the thing on her neck? And they kept saying, you ain't healed. And she'd stand up and say, I'm healed. I know I'm healed. They said, no, you're not healed. She said, for your sakes, I'm going home and pray. Next day she come and her neck was just as smooth as anything. See, that thing had fell off. She said, so you could see. And we're looking for that kind of thing when already God has already showed us great miracles among us. Great things have happened right here in this church. And that ought to be enough to give us courage to go in and take what's rightfully ours. And God's promised us healing. God's promised us that lost souls should be saved. God's promised us provision. God's promised us power. And all we got to do is go in and take it. Who'd be the first to step out tonight and say, I want to get into the promise. I want to enter into that land that God has promised for me.
Help us tonight, God. I said, help us tonight, God, to do your will.